Father, your Son, our Saviour, has said that your Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth and remind us of all that Jesus has said. And so we pray that you would teach us today, Holy Spirit, guide us and give us your peace. And we ask this for your name's sake. Amen. I have to confess that I'm a little bit of a fan of the actor Arnold Schwarzenegger. In the film Kindergarten Cop, he plays a detective who goes undercover as a school teacher to try and find a drug dealer. It's kind of wildly implausible, but you know, it's an Arnie film, so you run with it. Anyway, in one scene, he's trying to get information out of one of the kinder kids, and he says to them, "Who is your daddy and what does he do?" Today's Pentecost. It's the third great festival of the Christian calendar. At Christmas, we remember the incarnation, that God himself became one of us. Amazing. At Easter, we remember Jesus' death for the forgiveness of our sins and his glorious resurrection, triumphing over death itself. Pentecost is the day 50 days after Easter, that's where the name comes from, when God sent his Holy Spirit on the first disciples. And God still gives the Holy Spirit today to all who put their trust in Jesus as their Savior and who follow him as their King. And so if you'll excuse the way my mind works, today we are asking the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And what does he do? I'm not going to do that in Arnie's accent. Anyway, so who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do? These are really big questions. It's much bigger than a single sermon. And so we're going to focus our attention on those two readings from John and Galatians. If you have a Bible, you can follow along there. I'm not going to put them up on the screen, but I will have our sermon outlined there. If you've got a phone, you can follow along on your phone. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, in our gospel reading, we see Jesus teaching his disciples on the night before he died. And this is what he says about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate," some translation, counselor, "to be with you, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Did you see there? Jesus says the Holy Spirit is a counselor, the advocate. He is sent by the Father, and he is the Spirit of truth. Jesus promised his disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans, but will come to you." And then in verse 23, we see how Jesus keeps that promise. He says, "If anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Jesus says that he and his Father will make their home in those who love and obey him. And the way that Jesus and the Father do this is by the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus died for our sins. He rose again on the third day. And then, 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. And that is where he is right now. He is seated at the Father's right hand. But God has poured out his Holy Spirit on the church, on all those who love and obey Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God's presence with us now. In 1 Corinthians 6, St. Paul says the same thing. He says, "If you are a follower of Christ, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit." What's a temple? A temple is a place where a God lives. Gods live in temples. And so if you are a Christian, your body is a temple because God lives in you by His Holy Spirit. You're His home. He's come to make His dwelling in you. Absolutely amazing. What an incredible privilege for us. Well, because of Jesus' words here in John chapter 14 and elsewhere, the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father, and the Spirit of Christ. So as you can see, talking about the Holy Spirit invites us into the mystery of the Holy Trinity, that God is one, and at the same time, He is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the point for today is that in the person of the Holy Spirit, God gives His very life and presence to be with us and to live in us. And so, we are not alone. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. And so the Father gives us the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, the Counselor, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Do you yearn for a connection with God? Well, you won't find it through meditation or getting lost in nature, not really. Jesus says it's here in the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what you sense in those things is the voice of the Holy Spirit calling you. Do you want wisdom for life? It's not going to be through listening to some guru or TikTok influencer or following 12 rules for life or whatever else. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth, and He will guide you and remind you of Jesus' words. Do you long for peace? You won't find it through yoga or mindfulness. Not really. It's found here in the Holy Spirit, our helper, our counselor, our comforter, our advocate and guide, God with us in our hearts. So, the Holy Spirit is God's presence with us, but He is also God's power at work in us. And this leads us to our second point. What does the Holy Spirit do? Again, enormous question. Lots and lots of different things. So today we're just going to look at one thing, and that is St. Paul's answer in our second reading, Galatians chapter 5. We've seen hints about this in what Jesus says in John chapter 14. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Or seen from another angle, if our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, then it matters a very great deal what we do with our bodies. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul describes an internal conflict that takes place in the lives of all who follow Christ. He says, so I say, live, or perhaps more accurately, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so you are not to do whatever you want. Paul's words here don't mean that our bodies are bad and that all that matters is the spiritual. Rather, the term flesh here speaks of that sense that our bodily existence is all there is. The flesh is human life apart from God and turned away from God. I always think of that line from the film The Matrix. I don't know if you've seen it. It's kind of an old illustration now, but anyway, I love it. One of the characters in the film says, "To deny our impulses is to deny the very thing that makes us human." To deny our impulses, to deny the very thing that makes us human. And here Paul says, no, don't do it. Those impulses, those desires of the flesh, they're actually our problem as human beings. The 16th century theologian Martin Luther, he put it like this: our nature is so deeply curved in on itself that it not only bends the best gifts of God toward itself and even uses God himself in order to attain those things, it also fails to realize that it seeks all things, even God, for its own sake. In other words, we're just incredibly selfish creatures. That's something we all wrestle with. As human beings, we're made for relationships, right? We're made to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what it looks like to live a fully human life. But the desires of the flesh, when we act them out, they damage our humanity. They damage our relationship with God. They damage our relationship with others. They damage human communities. They damage ourselves. So we read verse 19 of Galatians 5. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Because these are destructive of our humanity and human community, they're dishonoring to God, in whose image we're all made. And they also have no place in the future that God is bringing in. And so, nor do they have any place in the life of God's people today. Paul writes in verse 21, "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." On the other hand, in verses 22 and 23, Paul gives us a picture of what a full human life looks like. And it is beautiful. He writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against these things, there's no law." Paul says that within each of us, there's a conflict, a pull towards unhumanity and inhumanity and in the end, death, the desires of the flesh. And there's a pull towards true humanity, what the Spirit desires. And I don't know about you, but I find that's a pretty good description of my experience of life. Sometimes I find myself pulled to impurity and rage, just to name a couple of things from that list. I know it's wrong, and it's damaging to myself, to others, it's dishonoring to God, and yet there's something in me that kind of pulls me that way. Especially when I'm tired or stressed or bored, sometimes just out of the blue. I experience the weakness of the flesh. And yet there is, alongside, the pull of the Holy Spirit to say no to those things and instead to act in love and patience and faithfulness and self-control. And at that point, I've got a choice, don't I? I could say no to the Holy Spirit and yes to the flesh, or I could say no to the flesh and yes to the Holy Spirit. And Paul says in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you belong to Christ, and He has given you the Holy Spirit, God's life and power at work in you. Apart from Christ and the Holy Spirit, we are dead. And we saw a really vivid picture of that in that reading from Ezekiel. Ezekiel uses that picture of the dry bones and then the bodies coming together and then God breathing His Spirit to give them life. Now, for ancient Israel, it's a picture of return from exile, the death of exile. But for us, we know it's even more true because it's by the Holy Spirit that we're made alive to God, to obey His commands, to follow Him, to love Him, to live that fully human life. Our whole being, apart from Him, is oriented towards death. It's expressed in us acting out the desires of the flesh. But when you come to Christ, you lay those at the foot of the cross, and you are made alive by the Holy Spirit. The power of the same Spirit which raised Christ from the dead is also at work in us to give us life. Paul says when we are led by the Spirit, and so we're called to walk by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, and by His mighty power, we'll be able to say no to sin and yes to God. And this is the daily, ordinary experience of the Holy Spirit work in our lives as followers of Christ. That Spirit, the Spirit's works to break the power of sin. For some things, that can be like in an instant. For other things, it takes a much longer time, slowly. So we learn to say no to sin and yes to God. And it's the Spirit's work to produce that beautiful fruit in us. Oh my goodness, what a lovely picture. Sometimes it's a lot easier to see that fruit in other people. We can be our own worst critics sometimes. I often feel that I'm battling with the same things that I was years ago. At the same time, sometimes when you think you're on top of something, and maybe you are, the Holy Spirit says, oh, look, here's somewhere else you need to grow. I've still got more work to do. For me at the moment, working on patience and gentleness. But the Holy Spirit does this work because God's purpose is to transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ so that we more and more reflect God's glory. That's why this is central to our vision as a church here at St. George's. God has called us as St. George's to be the light on the hill, to shine His light in our city. Our vision is to see people drawn to the light of Christ and transformed by the light of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit, His job, His work to change us. And then we are sent out into the world to shine the light of Christ. And you know what? As your minister, this is one of the most precious things that I get to see. God at work in you, transforming you from one degree of glory to another as you come more and more to reflect Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. And sometimes I get to see Him just radiant, shining through you. Oh my goodness, it's fantastic. So today, what is the Holy Spirit leading you to change? that any of those acts of the flesh that you might be needing to say no to. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. It's the Holy Spirit saying, you got to work on that. Put it to death. I'll help you. And on the other hand, what fruit would you like to grow in? Love, joy, peace. Maybe you need to grow in patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Ask. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to make that change and grow His fruit in you. If you're not a Christian, or if you don't know if you've been given the Holy Spirit, you can receive that gift today. At the first Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said to the crowd, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who call on the name of the Lord." Repent means to turn around. It means to say sorry to God for living your life your own way and to turn to Him. Baptism is a sign of that new identity, that new allegiance where you trust Jesus as your Savior and you obey Him as your King. You might have been baptized as a child, but maybe you've never made that decision to trust in Jesus. Well, you could do that today. Maybe you're trying to forgive yourself instead of trusting Jesus for forgiveness. You're not committed to obeying Him as your King. Well, why not do that today? You could say something like this: "God, I'm sorry for living my life my own way. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin on the cross. Please forgive me. I commit to obey you as my King. Please give me the gift of your Holy Spirit." If you ask God that prayer, He will answer. Listen to what Jesus promises in Luke chapter 11. "Which of you fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So you might like to say that prayer silently, or maybe while we're singing in response to the sermon. Maybe while we're sharing communion, that meal where we remember Jesus' death for our sins, His blood shed for our forgiveness. You come and kneel at the rail. That may be a physical act of coming to God humbly in repentance. Stretching out your hands to receive could be a moment where you open your hands to receive God's forgiveness. The prayer we finish our service with could be a prayer of commitment for you. Maybe for the first time, or maybe a recommitment to offer your life as a living sacrifice in worship to God and asking God to fill you with His Holy Spirit to live and work for Him. If you're not ready to take that step, that's fine. You might like to come forward for a blessing, asking that God would bless you by leading you to the truth where you have questions and preparing your heart to receive Him. And if you want to take that step today, if you want to find out more, come and have a chat with me. Somebody else you trust at church would love to chat with you. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God with us. It's God's power at work in our hearts to change us to be more like Jesus and live the lives of full humanity he calls us to, shining his glory in the world. Why don't we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the incredible gift we celebrate today, the gift of your Holy Spirit, your presence with us. We thank you for Jesus' promise, I will not leave you as orphans. And so you're with us by your Spirit. And we thank you for his power at work in us to change us, to help us get rid of the bad stuff in our lives and to live for you. Please, in each of us, Lord, grow the fruit of your Holy Spirit. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. We long to see those things in our lives. Please help us to offer our bodies to you in worship, that we can shine your light and that through us people might see your goodness and love. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.